This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Common Sense, and the author is Paula Soule. And Paula joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Abbott Press. Hello, Paula.
Hello.
Common sense really sums it up. It sounds so simple. Sometimes when we hear things that are so simple, people question, but you really are pointing out some things that we can all do, and really they are common sense, right?
Yes.
Well, let me read what you've written. You say your book is a self-help book on life issues that arise. It helps you raise wonderful children, stay thin and healthy without working out, and how to be beautiful. There are also great recipes that you loved when you posted them on Facebook. And it's also different in the fact that no one has solved the mystery of discovering the fountain of youth, but you did. Well, that in of itself, we don't need to talk anything about anything else, do we? The Fountain of Youth. Now, tell us, Paula, about why you wrote the book, and also that things haven't always been easy for you like they are now. Well, take us back. Take us back to the early years of Paula Soule's life.
Okay. I had a few injuries and accidents that caused me to become cross-eyed. As a child, so I had to wear a patch, I had to wear glasses, I had, my feet were turned inward, so I had to wear clumsy shoes, so in turn I had, from going to school with looking that way, I was a target of being bullied.
You were kind of the ugly duckling.
Yes, exactly. Through my life, and I was also bullied because I also helped children that were bullied, so then you become a target of being bullied. Also, as I grew older, I became overweight. But all these issues, growing up being bullied is very hard on children, and I had to write this book because I wanted to show if you build strong a foundation in your young children's life, they will overcome being bullied, they will know how to come out of it, and they will also never to be a bully. This is very important in my life. I just based my whole life on helping others because I knew what it was like and how it felt to be hurt.
And also you felt very alone.
Yes, I was always alone. Well, I was alone because my father worked very hard all his life. My mom was home, but we also lived in the city. So I would be outside. Since I was alone, that's another issue that I don't want to get into too much. I found myself to be in company with the elderly because they were around and they were very alone. So I just wanted to help them, and I found reassurance and helping others.
You talk about strong mind control, that this is so important. How do we develop that?
That happens when you have a strong foundation in the home. One of my theories is the idea of being, if you can, be a stay-at-home mom, because having a mother home, and when you come home from school, it's very important to release your thoughts or your emotions, and it's very good to have a stay-at-home mom. So I tried to point that out. Also, if you bring up your children, there's simple theories on how to make them stronger in their mind so that they learn to be strong individuals in a society, and they would give positive results and help others too.
Let's talk more about the Fountain of Youth. What do you mean when you talk about that?
Okay, it explains the theory of staying thin and healthy by doing no exercise. you could do like absolutely nothing. But if you follow my simple lifestyle theory, you could be thin, strong, and stay young and keep your cholesterol low by doing absolutely nothing but following my eating routine. The eating routine is just a very natural, common sense approach. It's so simple, but nobody does it. It's more like a European lifestyle, and it really works.
Now, you also talk about saving money and time. All of us seem to lose at that game, and yet it may be a game, but it's such a critical part of life, isn't it, that we need to save money and we also need to save time?
Yes. With the discovering of the Fountain of Youth, you find that you only need like a 5-minute routine of exercise if you prefer to do exercise. But if you follow the way the eating habits of what I put through, your body stays very strong and it stays young, and you don't slow down your metabolism. Everything stays the same, but it's just it's because of what you put into your body. Also, another thing, people never talk about recreational drugs and how that affects young children today. You know, God gives you a body, and if you just follow the natural course, you just stay healthy. And that's what people don't understand. By putting all this other, recreational drugs into your body, that really affects your organs and your mind, and it doesn't make you think properly and make your body stay young. And your skin. Your skin also is affected from recreational drugs. It's just a concept. You know, if you just do the simple lifestyle theory, your body just wants to do it, and it's so easy, and you have a lot of energy. And in my book, I had to show that I had to put myself through some routines to see if it worked, and it really did work. I went through extensive programs for myself. I even gave my plan to some other people, and they lost a considerable amount of weight, and they love it.
You're in your 40s, but you say you have the energy of a 20-year-old.
Yes, I'm 48, and I have a lot of energy, because what you put in your body makes you strong. And it's very easy to achieve that. I came up with this theory. I was overweight as a child when I was like from 8 years old to 13. And then at 14, I came up with this concept of how would I lose weight and be thin. So I started this theory at 14. And I found, and I perfected it at like 16, and I just did it all my life, and it's just so easy because your body gets acclimated to this way of life, and it makes you stay young. I mean, people, like doctors, have told me, wow, you have, like, knock wood. you have, you know, the body of in your 20s, and I mean, nothing is foolproof in any way, but really, if you help yourself along and you give it to the best of your ability, good results can happen.
It's just common sense.
It is. It's just a very simple. It's a very simple approach.
So we're going to stay healthy. We're going to be thin. We're going to have lots of energy, and you've even gone to the extent of sharing some of your great recipes with us.
Yes, I've included some recipes because a lot of parents, they claim that their children don't like to eat vegetables and fruits. But with the vegetables, if you incorporate these vegetables into your meal, your children are getting all the nutrients and vitamins they need with those vegetables. So if you just make these simple recipes, they are eating what they, you know, they need to do.
Now, a lot of parents are concerned because their children don't want to hang out with them, but your common sense approach changes that.
Yes. By getting close to your children and by being with them, With you having them be with you as their babies and children, that they want to be with you because they trust you. Oh, that's another important thing when in the concept of raising respectful and wonderful children. My concept is in there, a lot of people will disagree with, but it's very true. If you bring up your children in the molding process of how I state, your children will always be open with you. They'll never have to hide anything. So in turn, you never have to snoop into their computer files or into their drawers. You have to teach them that you respect them as children or adults, and then they respect you, and they don't want to let you down. So the approach is trusting and respect. And if you respect your children, they grow up with reassurance, and they're secure. They're not insecure, and there will be nothing that you need to know, so you don't have to snoop.
And it's critical, you believe, that all women should be stay-at-home moms.
Yes, you know, we had a very difficult life. My husband opening a business, and it was very difficult, but it can be done. So we chose to. That for me to stay home, I gave up my career to be a stay-at-home mom because I felt that I brought these children into my life, and so it's my responsibility to do the best that I can for them. And what happens is that in the past 10 or 15 years, we see that the theory of women wanting careers and having their careers first and putting their children second, it shows that the children today are very mixed up. They're all over the place. So it shows that if you can stay home, where I tell you that you have to learn to wait for things, that one person stays home, one person works, the good, you know, material things come later. The important things are your children. And if you build, if you're home and build a strong foundation, that it really works, because especially for girls today, there's girls are all mixed up. Women are taught to be like Wonder Woman. They have to be everything from sexy to strong and soft, and they're given mixed messages. They have to be a super athlete. They have to have a super career. What's wrong with just being a woman? What's wrong with just being just right? Self-assurance comes with the simple concept, and it's not necessary. Like you see today, a lot of girls are all mixed up. They're insecure. They give themselves to boys. They don't even know why they give themselves to boys. So if you're just there for them and you bring them up with a good molding and a good foundation, It teaches them that happiness comes from within and being a good person. And what can you do for other people? And also then it helps you become the great athlete or the great corporate woman. Another theory of mine is when you're a stay-at-home mom, nobody gives credit to the stay-at-home mom. A stay-at-home mom brings up well-adjusted children for the society. I feel also that, you know, there's so much to say, and it's detailed in my book.
Your approach, your view of life, your common sense strategy kind of summed up, do your best.
Yes, exactly. So the inner happiness is success in life is what you make of it, is what you feel you have done to the best of your ability. That's success. Success to me is not being the president of the United States or the corporate woman or the best athlete. To me, happiness and being successful is everything you want to be, what you look as in success. Because lots of people today, they have all that. They are on top positions or top athletes or also in the showbiz life, but they're lost, they're insecure. They need to find true happiness in themselves, that they gave the best that they can in their ability, and that's the key. That's the key to success. And it's all detailed in my book. My book is a very tiny book, but it's very powerful. My friends always said, "Oh, Paula, you know, you don't read, but how do you know everything?" It's like, write a book. You know, they always came to me for advice, and I was always happy to give it to them. And like I said, women have to help each other. I stayed at home, but there was women that worked, and I used to watch their children because I felt bad for them that they had to work. So I wanted their children to be in a home. And that's what I also say, that women have to help each other. If we have to support each other if we're a stay-at-home mom or if we're a corporate woman. And if you are a stay-at-home mom, reach out to your neighbors and see if their kids need, if they're working in your home, and if their kids need someplace to go. Like, we have to help each other. That's what it's all about. Giving the time. Time is another. That's the greatest gift you could ever give someone. And I learned that from when I was a child, when I was alone, because I wanted to give my time to the elderly, and they in turn taught me so much with their stories. And that's it. It's just a simple concept.
The title of the book, Common Sense, and the author is Paula Soul. Paula, tell us how to get your book.
Oh, all right. Thank you. My book you can find online at Amazon, Abbott Press. Oh, I just want to thank Abbott Press for the opportunity for publishing my book. They were so wonderful and helpful, but I just want to thank them. And also, you could get it if you just type in Paula Soul, S-O-L-E, Common Sense, it just comes up. And this book is a great book for young adults, for young mothers, and for people, like if you have a shower, baby shower, this is a great gift for them, so... I appreciate everybody who read my book.
Thanks, Paula. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I want to thank my family for their support, and thank you. Thank you for the opportunity for this interview.
This interview brought to everyone by Abbott Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Confessions of a Recovering Stupid Male, Creating Loving Relationships That Will Last a Lifetime. And the author is Mike Love, and Mike joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this special interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Well, you're admitting the worst possible part of your past, I guess, aren't you?
Yes. It's something that I have gone through myself, and I know that many other men, and to a lesser extent, probably women as well, dealing with some of the issues that cause conflict in their marriages and their relationships with the opposite sex.
You say your book is a book of hope for couples who are struggling and who want the tools to supercharge their relationship beyond their dreams. So this is a kind of a how-to book, how to help men to be more caring and more loving.
Yeah, I would say it's a how-to book for men to be that, as well as for women to have to deal with the stupid male syndrome or the macho sod that they put on.
So where's this macho, you know, syndrome? Where does that come from?
Well, you know, we're brought up in our culture, and I would say cultures from millennia back, this is what men are supposed to be. And, you know, you see examples of that on TV, like the Marlboro Man. From generation to generation to generation, been brought up with, this is what men are supposed to be like, and this is what women are supposed to be like. And so men are supposed to put on this macho facade and stiff upper lip and things like that. We aren't programmed that way because we are first human beings and then we're men, you know, and we have those feelings. And I think a lot of the reasons that we have a lot of anger is that we haven't been able to express those feelings in a positive way.
So men are just as emotional as women, but they hold it back. They cover it up.
That's right. You know, big boys don't cry. You don't show your feelings because it might be some weakness there, and you don't want to be perceived as weak or being called a sissy or a girly boy or something like that.
So this book explores issues like men's anger and violence, midlife transitions, infidelity, even a survey of what women want from men in their lives. How did you conduct that survey?
I did it over the internet through, SurveyMonkey, something like that. And I did that several years ago and got quite a few responses. And I put them all together in the book. And this is exactly what women want from their men. And I think that would be a good thing for men to read if they're open to it. If they're not, then they're not going to get anything out of it.
So growing up, you had some role models and the way you were thought you were supposed to act. And, of course, then when you got into the real situation, this natural system of a marriage where you needed to interact, you really had a hard time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I shut myself down and not express the true feelings. I had these expectations. What we were brought up with is women are there to serve you, you know, you fix you dinner, do your laundry, take care of the kids, making love whenever you wanted to, things like that, and not looking at what their needs are, but yet not giving them the emotional support either. And that's what I see a lot of men, not all men, but a lot of men are having trouble with, is being able to show that emotional support.
So there was a straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak.
Yes, there was. It came on almost in my 18th year of marriage where we had a very huge fight and she left, and all of a sudden I thought, this is it. I pushed over the line and I'm sure I'm going to see my baggage out on the lawn with a divorce decree coming shortly after that.
So that's when you decided to try to do something, to try to be different, to make changes.
I did. I had to really kind of do some deep soul searching and really kind of, I really didn't think we'd ever get it back together like we did. And it took a long time, a lot of healing. I didn't think she would trust me again. It was all the times I've hurt her and stuff, not physically, but emotionally and mentally hurt, and that can be just as devastating as a physical hurt. But, yeah, it's something that I went through. I had to work it out. We had to rebuild our marriage again and the trust issues, and I think today we're a lot better than we've ever been before.
And writing the book, that helped you.
Yeah, it was very healing. I had to get out a lot of things and deal with a lot of demons and just a lot of issues that I hadn't been dealing with. A lot of tears came out of that, and I'm proud to say that. I mean, big boys do cry, and that's good to do that once in a while.
Very hard, then, for men to change, and yet you're proof that men can change.
They can, and you got to want to, you know. If your relationship is that important, and you need to be able to serve her, you know, be able to serve your wife or your girlfriend as you would want to be served.
And we've got some interesting titles of the chapters, The Dark Side of Men, Anger, Violence in Men, The Midlife Crazies. Is that something you went through?
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's, I think, in my late 30s into up to 47, I'd say. I was going through all kinds of stuff, emotional, I think, just the chemistry changes in ourselves, you know, erectile dysfunction, all this stuff, anger, depression, losing hope, all that.
And you have a chapter titled Coping with Infidelity.
Yes, I do. And there's a lot, it's mainly men that do the infidelity, but studies have showed that in recent years, women are doing that as well as almost as much as men are now because they're out in the workforce. And they have a lot more freedom than they used to have just being at home. So, yeah.
What advice would you give to women whose man isn't willing to change?
Well, there's two things. If they're in an abusive situation, especially if you have kids involved, you want to get out of that. There's too much codependency going on. I've seen that with relatives, and you need to get out because your safety is at risk, and so is your child's safety as well. And you don't want your children to be witnessing this and then starting another pattern in the next generation. If it's not an abusive situation and that the men are still just wanting to be the way they are, you know, your choice is, well, either live with what you got and make the best of it or, you know, maybe find other alternatives.
And what would you say women can do to help their men evolve into a more loving and intimate partner?
I would say that, and this is a lot what my wife did with me, is to start talking, having conversations. Don't be having conversations if there's a sporting event going on or if he's glued to the tube or maybe sometimes even saying, well, let's turn off the TV and let's talk. And realizing that men communicate and understand communication in a different way than women do. Women are more open to communication than men are, physically as well as emotionally. And so women have to help the men understand what they're communicating. They may have to say it over again. We don't multitask very well as men. So, you know, we need, you know, patience. We need women to, you know, talk simply and make sure they get the first point across and then go to the second point. Don't expect us men to be able to understand and communicate like your girlfriends, because it's not going to happen. But there is, you know, if a woman is patient and wants to help her man, if he's open to doing that too, that's even better, to be able to communicate verbally as well as nonverbally.
Another chapter title, 12 Steps to Becoming a Recovering Stupid Male.
That was a chapter that I used, 12 principles I used for myself, and I still do. I mean, I'm not there yet. You know, it's the journey, not the destination. And so, you know, as I'm writing this thing down, I could have written a lot more steps down, but I figured I better stop at 12. but, you know, each one is, one that I had to go through when I realized I needed to change. This is the first step. This is the second step. And they don't necessarily have to go, you know, one after the other. They can all go at the same time. But it's important to be able to make a commitment to yourself first to want to make some changes so you can feel better about who you are. And then you will see naturally changes along with your wife or your girlfriend or your kids when they see these changes going on. And you got to be patient with it because they've lived with you for so long and say, well, I'm sorry, this won't happen again. It's like a broken record. And they, you know, a lot of trust might have been broken. It needs to be rebuilt, and it's going to take time, so don't expect it to happen overnight.
One of the key messages you say in your book is this: we must become aware that we are the only ones who can meet our needs.
That's right.
That's probably most people don't think that way, don't realize that.
We don't realize that. It's a hard thing because we're taught that, you know, we need to get things from other people. I'm not valued unless someone loves me. And then they put down the idea, well, self-love is nothing more than conceit. Well, you know, most people brush their teeth two or three times a day. They take a shower once a day. They put on clean clothes. That's an act of self-love. And in order to be able to love other people, you got to know how to love yourself. And that's nothing more than self-respect. How do I want to be? How can I be the best I can be today? It doesn't mean perfection. It means how can I be the best of what I've got? And once I've had that self-esteem of caring for myself, then I can reach out to other people and start caring for them. And hopefully to find a relationship where both parties are in that mode, because then you're not having to depend that, well, this person's got to meet my needs, or I'm not anybody unless that person loves me. You know, we've got to be able to learn how to love ourselves first, and then we can share that love with the world.
And you say that you can go from a recovering stupid male to an enlightened male.
Yep. It's like I say, the concept of I'm wanting to be better than I was yesterday. And to be able to become enlightened is to become aware of who you are, what are you doing, how are you affecting your wife or your girlfriend or your children or anybody else, what can I do to make these changes, become a better person. And that's what you call self-growth.
And at the end of your book, you have recommended reading. What do you have there?
There is some of the books that I've read that helped me along the way, whether it's been emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, all of the above. All these books have been very important in helping me to be where I am today. And I'm not just pushing my book. It's something that I've wanted to share with these other books that have helped me, and maybe that will help whoever's reading it as well.
And your wife, Shelley, has written a statement in support of all you're doing. She says this: I will love you when you are confident and proud of everything that you stand for, and when you need me to remind you how far you've come and that there is no limit to how far you can go. Well said, Shelley.
Yeah. I couldn't get through that. She volunteered to do the foreword for me, which was, I thought, just great. That's exactly what I needed. And each time I read that forward, I can't get through it without crying like a baby.
So a recovering stupid male has learned to cry.
Oh, yeah. 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 Cry with good times and cry with sorrow. You know, because that's part of us. You know, I mean, it's not something we have to do out in public. I mean, if it happens, but, you know, at least allow yourself to cry and feel. We've numbed ourselves up with TV, we've numbed ourselves up with alcohol, with drugs, and we don't want to feel what we're feeling. And no wonder we see people angry today and people depressed today and people saying, well, this isn't working, I want to jump out, without really trying to make it work.
The title of the book, Confessions of a Recovering Stupid Male, Creating Loving Relationships That Will Last a Lifetime. And the author is Mike Love. Mike, tell us how to get your book.
Well, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's hopefully going into bookstores near you pretty soon. But you can also go to my website at oneloverising.com. And you get to see some information there. I sell my books from there. I autograph the books if you're interested in getting it that way. I'll send it to you. If not, then like I say, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or your nearest bookstore.
And yes, everyone, his real name, his last name is Love.
All you need is love.
All you need is love. There you go, Mike. Well, thank you for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, Mike. And this interview is brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show. Every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen. And listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Square Peg, Square Hole, Keys to Find Your Niche in Life. And the author is Helen Hamilton, and we welcome Helen to Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Helen is also known as Nana Wisewoman. Hello, Helen.
Hi, hi.
Well, Nana Wisewoman, that says it all, I guess. We don't need to say much more. So you're going to provide some great keys, as you put it, all kinds of keys to life enjoyment, and we're going to get into those specifics. But first of all, let me just read a short statement about what your book is focused on. Square Peg, Square Hole, Keys to Find Your Niche in Life is filled with moving, very personal wisdom stories and helpful, unusual tips that solve lifestyle problems. Garnered through the author's long experience, the book covers 12 major self-improvement topic areas, with the emphasis on recovering self-esteem. Recovering self-esteem, that is something so critical, isn't it?
It is. It's really unfortunate. But starting even from before birth, we inherit the beginning patterns of personality. And as we find ourselves thinking to ourselves that we're worth less than someone else, we begin to take on this idea that we're simply not good enough, that we're everybody else is better than we are. And as we go through life, we just keep adding to it incident after incident of our learning experience as we, you know, grow into teenage years especially, can create a situation that just adds to that idea that a person doesn't measure up. And then we can spend our lives trying to, trying to rebalance from that, trying to find a way to shift those areas and release the patterns that we've added into ourselves. So the Square Peg book is primarily the types of shifts that occurred in my life through many vehicles, books, seminars, people, contact, that enabled me to move from a total accumulation of low self-esteem, low self-worth, into much more self-acceptance, self-happiness, etc., all the way through life.
You feel very strongly that we need to take personal responsibility for our own health.
Yes, absolutely. And health is one area that I address among the keys, because health embraces not only understanding our physical form and what influences it and what we've inherited as influences, but it also takes in our mental health, which is another area we address in Square Peg, and weight loss. Weight loss is a huge issue nowadays because so many of us have used food in ways that don't serve the body properly.
And it becomes kind of a crutch, doesn't it? It becomes just when we're upset, eat.
Yes, unfortunately. We use food for stress reduction. We use it for love. We use it to fill all the gaps where we think our life isn't quite working right. And unfortunately, certain foods we actually become addicted to without realizing it. I have a very large chapter on weight loss in Square Peg, because that was an area that it took me many years of my life and many trial and errors until I finally came to a place of mastery. I'm still not totally thin, but I am just slowly continuing to reduce because I've been able to change my lifestyle and embrace a totally new eating plan. Just, it requires a total commitment, and I address all of this in Square Peg.
You say that schools have not served our young people by making blue-collar jobs second class to university white-collar jobs.
Right, and I feel that it's really unfortunate that in North America, many of the teachers in the school system are all university graduates. When you become a university graduate, the type of person that is university material has a particular mind and instinct pattern that they have inherited that enables them to be these detail language type people and combine their natural instinctual skills for university. But the kind of instinctual skills that perhaps a gardener might have or a painter might have will not perhaps be strong in the language categories. And those are the children that seem to be, I won't say discriminated against, but they have a hard time at school. They don't like school. It's not natural for them. It's an area of resistance for them. And so that they drop out of school, they suffer at school, and people tend to think highly of the university white-collar type position and lowly of the blue-collar. And yet we need them all. We need everybody. And we need them. We need the school system to change so that we have much more acceptance of the, call it the working with the hands type of capability, and not just the working with the mind capability. And we could do that through some simple testing. I tell people how it made a huge difference in my own life to take a test called the Cognitive Index test, very simple test. And as a result, I was able to switch my life from trying to work against myself by being in sales into a job in management, which was perfect for my natural instincts. And it made a huge difference. And I could see the difference it made in my employees as well. When they were in the right slot for their natural instincts, because we tested some of the employees, once I learned this simple test could make that much difference.
One of the chapters deals with ancestors, and that's so important in our lives, and yet in our society today, we seem to just stick our senior citizens into nursing homes, and we don't have that family connection like we should.
Yeah, and that's difficult, too, because there's two components to the ancestry situation. One is what we come in with, so that we need to first understand ourselves, what our patterns are. And I give information about how one can discover that through a system called RAID, Light of the Soul, that has a system of understanding what your personality emotional blocks are that you inherited. But the other part of the ancestry is the fact that our culture has separated so badly. And I'm not quite certain what would help bring us all together again. It's going to be a major change, but I think with the breakdown of the economy, to have people, younger people, moving back home is perhaps one of the first steps toward this kind of reconciliation. The fact that families may have to unite because of hard times that people are experiencing could actually be a move in the right direction.
And it's often painted today as something's wrong with you if you are still living at home and you're in your mid-20s.
Well, it has been, because you also need to understand and move out into the world. You can't just live in the nest your whole life. At some point, you do have to fly. So it is a bit difficult in that regard. The young people that stay at home often are just using that time period to assess all kinds of, call it, goodies, material goodies, and not really developing themselves to be citizens of the community, leaders of the community as they grow into their middle years.
You list 12 keys. Now, obviously, these keys somehow interact. They're comprehensive altogether. Are there some that stand out more than others that have a great influence on the other keys?
Well, because they are stories that of my shift, the work with the Enneagram under personality keys was very instrumental in the healing I went through. Plus, later on, at the spiritual level, it indicates where the whole of the planet is headed. So that one has quite a large area in the book. But relationship keys are a major one as well. It's really important in relationship that people communicate completely, right from the heart on everything. And the stories that I've included indicate the ways in which this did not happen and how it was so harmful in my own life.
Tell us more about this spiritual component, spiritual keys.
Okay. As I developed and opened myself more and allowed myself to move into just a total self-acceptance and an acceptance of what is in every day, I found myself to be more loving, more open, more kind, more compassionate, less critical, less judgmental, and I found myself being drawn into seeking a spiritual mentor. And I describe my experiences with several of them in the spiritual section, and how being in the presence of a master influences a person through the energy transmission of just being in their energy field. And I had come to learn that everything is vibration, everything is energy, or as Lynn McTaggart and others have said, this field that we live in is what unites us all. And I began to really appreciate and recognize our unity. And as a result, spend time with these awakened beings, fully awakened beings, and have had continuous growth and change as a result. One of the things that I learned along the way that I describe is how I recognized that I could see that there was a progress that happened, and it demonstrated through an arrangement of the tarot keys with pictures in the square peg book that indicates how there is a consciousness state that changes through the years or through the experiences until one arrives at the point where they're totally directed from within the heart by the divine. Their every thought and every motion can come from a fully surrendered state. Now, I have to admit, I haven't fully let go. I am still growing and developing in that area, but I am nowhere near like the person I was when I was young, when I was loud, aggressive, unkind, not thoughtful at all, very judgmental, totally intolerant. But many of those things now have just dropped away through my self-esteem recovery and the work that I've done with teachers.
In just the time we have left, could you comment on love and enjoyment keys?
Love and enjoyment. Back many years ago, when I was at a stage where I had recognized how important that was, I attended a seminar where I was shown that one doesn't have to suffer in life. One can really just set that aside and enjoy life instead. And as a result, the love and enjoyment aspect was able to continue developing. There are things one can do, things like recognizing and being grateful for everything that we experience in life, recognizing that we are all one being. And so when we would enjoy another person's company, we're actually connecting with an aspect of ourselves. So why would we do other than love them? And I have a few experiences, a few ways to look at love that are described, how opening my heart actually changed my thinking. So that's some of the things that have influenced my own life and helped me to find more balance, because love and caring for others is really the key to a harmonious life.
The title of the book, Square Pegs, Square Hole, Keys to Find Your Niche in Life, and the author is Helen Hamilton, lovingly called Nana Wise Woman, and that's your website, right?
My website, yes, is nanawisewoman.com, and books are available on the website, also through Balboa Press. They're available at Amazon, they're available at Barnes & Noble and Chapters. And if anyone is interested in a book autographed with a personal message, they can even purchase that through my website.
Helen, thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. And this interview with Helen is brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I've enjoyed talking with you.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.